Lord, without you, we have no breath, and you're the one that holds us together, and you're the one that holds this church together. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to be with us, you would bless our service, and you'd be with me now, Lord, as I share your word. We pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Let me summarize where we have been in our series. We've been working with a series called Secret Sins with Serious Consequences. We looked at the story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts the first week. Then we looked at David and Bathsheba in 2 Samuel the second week. We took a break, and last week we had Dave McVitie with Doing Family Right, sharing passing on your faith to the next generation. And I really appreciated, Dave, a lot of what you had to say. And we're closing off this series today looking at the story of Achan, in the book of Joshua, chapter 7. So the context here, Joshua chapter 7, the story of Achan, some context before I jump into that. So here in the Old Testament, the people of Israel are God's people, and God is doing some miraculous, awesome stuff with the people of Israel, and he's promising the Israelites to take them into the promised land, and the rules are pretty simple. God says, if you just obey me, follow me, do what I say, it's all going to go well, and I'm going to take you into the promised land. No problem. The previous chapter, in chapter 6, there's a story of how God gives the Israelites an incredible victory over the city of Jericho. But before they go into the city of Jericho, there's just a very simple rule, a very specific rule for that victory. And it says this in Joshua chapter 6, verse 18 to 19. Here's the rule. But keep away from the devoted things so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and will bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury. So basically, God says, don't take anything. You can't loot. You can't plunder. Very simple. Do what I say and all will be well. And so God is doing, again, some miraculous stuff amongst the people of Israel, the Israelites. He gives them an incredible victory over the city of Jericho. Good stuff is happening. And just like the other stories we talked about in this series, a secret sin is about to take place in the midst of blessing and growth. And again, we're reminded not to take the good times for granted. So now we get into the story here, Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. And following. But the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now, notice that God was angry with the entire nation of Israel, even though only one man sinned. You know, I like to pause for a second here and also consider, you know, what was going through Achan's mind as he took this thing, as he disobeyed God, as he took these items. And perhaps one of the things that was going on in his mind, this lie that he was thinking was, hey, I deserve this. I deserve this. Maybe he was thinking, hey, I was risking my life. My life's in the line. There's some gold, there's some silver. I deserve this. Do we ever fall prey to that temptation? Perhaps maybe we're in our workplace, and perhaps we don't feel we get paid enough. Maybe we're taking things from work. Maybe we're taking extra time off or extended breaks because, hey, I deserve this. Or maybe something else we're struggling with, we give in to that lie. Another lie that Achan may have been thinking, hey, no one will know. It's a secret. No one's going to find out. So I'll just take this stuff and I'll hide it somewhere. Do we ever fall prey to that temptation? You know, no one will know if I cheat on my taxes. I'll just, just won't claim some of this money that I've been making on the side here, and no one will know. Or what about this lie? It's not that big of a deal. It's only possessions. It's only silver and gold, and it's going to get lost anyways. It's not that big of a deal. It's okay if I'm flirting with someone else other than my spouse. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, it's not the real deal. It's not the real thing. Well, the story continues. Now, Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven to the east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the army will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not worry the whole army, for only a few people live there. This shouldn't be a hard place to take over. So verse 4, so about 3,000 went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted in fear and became like water. Whoa. And so reminded here that our secret sins affect others. Our secret sins affect others. We see here that Achan's sin of disobedience, his secret sin is now responsible for the deaths of 36 men who died in battle that day. Now you may be thinking, out of a few thousand people, 36 people isn't that big a deal. But what if one of those men who died was your brother, was your father, was your son, was your husband? Nick, I'm sure you'd be devastated if one of those men was your father, Mark, who died in battle. You'd be without a father. You'd be pretty ticked off and hurt. And Nettie, I'm sure you'd be devastated if your son, Braden, was one of those guys that passed away that were killed in battle. Melissa, I'm sure if you would be devastated if your husband, Dave, was one of those men who died in battle. You'd be a widow with three children. You'd be devastated. And what's worse, imagine you found out that your husband, your son, your father died as a direct result of someone disobeying God in a very seemingly simple way. You'd be outraged. And you know, I just want to throw this out there, that you may be struggling with a sin in your life, with a secret sin in your life. You don't think it's affecting anyone else in your life, but your secret sin may be directly related and hindering growth in God's kingdom right now. That's a profound thing to think about, but it might be happening in our lives. And so all Israel is just, they're a mess. It says their hearts are melting with fear. Joshua doesn't know what to do. The elders don't know what to do. And so Joshua and the elders, they just fall face flat on the ground. And they're pouring dust in their heads and they're just lying there for hours. God, what's going on? So Joshua says, "Alas, sovereign Lord, why'd you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Pardon your servant, Lord. What can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this and they will surround us and wipe out your name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name?" And so Joshua is panicking. He's not only questioning God and God's plan for them, he's also probably questioning his own leadership, because in the previous chapter we see that Joshua's fame was spreading throughout all the land, and now all of a sudden, within the blink of an eye, he's a laughingstock of the whole land. So God responds immediately and he says to Joshua, "Stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen, they have lied, they have put them in their own possessions. Now notice, even though only one man has sinned, God says Israel has sinned. They have violated. They have taken some devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions." And so remember that our secret sins are no secret to God. God knows exactly what happened. He knows exactly who stole it. He knows exactly where this stuff is. And so he continues to give Joshua direction in the following verse. "That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Go consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There are devoted things among you, Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove them. So in the morning, present yourselves tribe by tribe. The tribe the Lord chooses shall come forward, clan by clan. The clan the Lord chooses shall come forward, family by family. And the family the Lord chooses shall come forward, man by man. Whoever is caught with a devoted thing shall be destroyed by fire, along with all that belongs to him. He has violated the covenant of the Lord and has done an outrageous thing in Israel." And so I think to myself here, destroyed by fire? God, are you serious? Is this too heavy of a punishment for the crime that's been committed? And we need to remember in this process that, again, that God is holy. He's holy, and he's very serious about sin. I don't know about you, but if I was there standing, if I was among the people of the Israelites there, and I was preparing myself the night before for what was to come in the morning, I would be sweating all night long, wondering, God, is there something in my life that I've sinned? Am I the one that has gone wrong? Whew, that would have been a scary time to live in. So early the next morning, Joshua had Israel come forward, forward by tribes, and Judah was chosen. Whew! If I was not in the tribe of Judah, I would have been breathing a huge sigh of relief. The clans of Judah came forward, and the Zerahites were chosen. He had the clan of the Zerahites come forward by families, and Zimri was chosen. Joshua had his family come forward, man by man, and Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was chosen. Then Joshua says to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and honor him. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me." And so maybe in a similar way, God is telling us the exact same thing. Hey, maybe you've been struggling with something for a long time now, and it's time to confess it to somebody. It's time to confess it to God. At this point, we don't know if Achan knows, you know, the serious consequence that awaits him, but he confesses anyways. I mean, he's got nowhere to run. He's got nowhere to hide. He's divinely pointed out by God, and he has no choice but to tell the truth. And so he says in verse 20, "It's true. It's true. I've sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. And this is what I've done. When I saw in the plunder of a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath." And so that's the first thing Achan does right, is he confesses. And we need to do the same as well. Verse 22 says, "Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was hidden. There it was hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. They took the things from the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites, and spread them out before the Lord." And again, this is, in some ways, we're kind of surprised with God that he would know this. But of course, he knows this. Again, our secret sins are no secret to God. He knows exactly what Achan did, when it happened, where the loot is, exactly when it happened. And in the same way, he knows exactly what we're doing in our lives, good or bad. He knows when we fall. He knows when we give in secret. And he sees all and knows all. I remember when I was in grade 3, I think, a child. I was one of those kids who, when we had fundraising, cake fundraising raffle things at the school, I would always feel like I never won. Whether that was true or not, I was very sad that I never won any cakes. And so one day, I brought an abnormally large amount of money to the school to make sure that I would win. I wanted to buy lots and lots of raffle tickets. And so I went to my teacher and I said, "Hey, can I buy some raffle tickets with the money that I have here?" And she looked at me with a lot of suspicion because, again, the amount of money that I had was abnormally high for my age, for who I was and my age and all the rest. And so she looked at me with some suspicion and she said, "Ryan, are you sure your parents are okay with you spending this amount of money on raffle tickets?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, they know. We're good. Pass over the tickets." She gave me another chance, and she said, "Ryan, are you sure your parents are okay with you spending this amount of money on raffle tickets?" And I said, "Absolutely. My parents know. My mom is good with it. I'm ready to go. Let's buy these tickets. Let's make this happen." The teacher sent me to my desk, and she walked to the office. She called my mom, and my mom, she discovered the truth, and I had lied. I had lied, and needless to say, I got in big trouble. But there's a lesson there, and it would have been far better if I had just spoken the truth up front right away. And now I kind of go to the opposite extreme sometimes with my wife. If I'm going out and I'm buying her flowers or a present and she asks me, well, I'll tell her, "I'm going out to buy you flowers." And she says, "You're not supposed to tell me that." I'm not too sure if that's the best thing to do either, but It's good to be honest. Anyways, back to the story here. The following verses are some of the most difficult verses in this story and in all the Bible, really. Verse 24 says this. Then Joshua, together with all Israel, took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold bar, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys, and sheep, his tent, and all that he had to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today. Then all Israel stoned him, and after they had stoned the rest, they burned them. Over Achan they heaped a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. Therefore that place has been called the Valley of Achor ever since. And so again, we're reminded again that our secret sins affect others. And not only is Achan now responsible for the lives of the 36 men who died in battle, he's also responsible for his sons and daughters for being punished along with Achan, whoever else was associated with Achan and his family. You know, this story, in my mind, is probably one of the most difficult stories for someone in our culture in North America. Because we're so individualistic in our thinking, we are somewhat outraged that the children are suffering their father's punishment, basically. And we don't understand that, why would God allow 36 men to die because of this man's secret sin? But the truth of the matter is that our secret sins do affect others. And we need to remember that. And I think when we remember that, once that sinks into our minds, I think that will challenge us to live holier lives. It'll challenge us to live more pure lives of purity, and lives that honor God. The other difficult thing for us is this, is that we think God is a cruel God. He's a heartless God. He's mean. He's a bully. This isn't fair. God's going to an extreme here. But I want you listening carefully, because this might be the most profound thing I say in this entire series. Here's the thing. You might be thinking that God is mean, that God's a bully, but I want to challenge you to think the exact opposite. Okay? This story should remind us of God's grace and his mercy, because if we're honest with ourselves, we all deserve the exact same death that Achan is experiencing right now, the exact same punishment. If you've sinned once in your life, you deserve to be stoned to death and to be thrown in hell for eternity. I know that sounds crazy, that sounds extreme, but it's true. We all deserve the death that Achan has experienced. But because of God's grace, because of his mercy, because he sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, we don't have to experience that punishment. And so I say to myself, praise God that we serve a God of grace. Praise God that we serve a God of mercy. Praise God that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins so that we can be forgiven. Holy smokes. We all deserve this. The last thing I want to say here is this. There's a principle here, and I think we need to be challenged to be aggressive with the sin in our lives. You know, Jesus said, if your hand causes you to sin, to cut it off. It's better for you to cut it off than to be thrown into the fires of hell. He said, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. It's better for you to cut your hand off or throw your eye out rather than to be thrown into the fires of hell. Anyways, you know, I've been told and I've been taught that, you know, Jesus would often speak in extremes. You know, I don't know if Jesus was exaggerating here some days. But there is a principle either way that we need to be aggressive with sin in our lives. You know, if your internet, your cell phone, maybe your cable in some way is causing you to sin, and maybe it's time to stop the excuses and cut that stuff out of your life. Be aggressive with sin in your life. Maybe you're watching certain TV shows, certain music, certain media. Maybe it's causing you to fantasize about other people other than your spouse. It's time to stop making excuses. It's time to stop saying that it doesn't bother you, it doesn't affect you. Maybe it's time to get aggressive with those things in your life and cut it out of your life. Maybe you're in an unhealthy relationship or an activity that's just not honoring to God. And maybe it's time to be aggressive with those things in your life. Cut out your life and be aggressive and deal with it. So my question is, what is your secret sin, and what are you going? How are you going to aggressively deal with it? Well, I hope this series has blessed you. I know just preparing these messages have personally challenged me, myself. And I just want to say, if you're struggling with something, whether sin in your life or something along those lines, that we serve a good and gracious God. And God calls us to confess to one another so that we can help each other out. We can keep each other accountable. So I would challenge you to do that. But also that God challenges us to confess to God, because the Bible says if we confess our sins to God, he will forgive us. And I hope we do that. We serve a good and gracious God more than we'll ever know or understand. And I'm so thankful for that. Let me close off in prayer, and I'll invite the worship team to come back with us. Lord, thank you so much for today. Lord, man, I cannot fathom, I can't understand how good and how awesome of a God you are. Lord, we just read a very difficult story, but at the same time, we should be reminded that you are a God of grace, a God of mercy. But at the same time, you do take sin seriously. And so, Lord, we pray for those in our congregation, Lord, each and every one of us who struggle with something in some way, that you would help us with those issues. You would give us strength by your Spirit and your power to help us through those sins and through those struggles. Pray you give us the courage to confess to one another so we can keep each other accountable. And most important, Lord, that we would confess our sins and struggles to you so that you can forgive us and help us through those things. And we just pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.